Amen. Man, I am having a wonderful day. I love rainy days and throwing a little lightning and thunder, and I'm on top of the world. How many of you guys are like that too? I love stormy days. I'm glad I'm not the only weird one in here. But I love it. Guys, I missed you last week. I'm so thankful to be back. I couldn't wait to get here. My son and I went on our kind of annual Memorial Day camping trip, and we didn't get lost this year. The Rangers didn't have to come get us this time. The reason why is I listened to Luke when we got on the trails, and he got us out of there. I have grown to and learned to listen to him. We're going to finish up. I started the series, the last week I was here. I want to thank Scott, too. I hear he did a wonderful job, and I'm just thankful for that. Yeah, he's a great guy. And I'm going to start asking God for a lot of you other folks for me to use you too. So if you get close to me one day, you'll be preaching up here. Amen. Anyway, started a 2-week series on eternal realities. And we talked about hell the last time that I was here. And today I want to talk about the reality of heaven. And the reality is that we're much more excited about earth than we are heaven in a lot of ways. And we don't really, I think we don't get excited because we don't realize how much better heaven is than earth. And that it's gonna be. I love this place. I love the earth despite it. Can you hear that thunder? That does something to me. I like it. But I love it despite being this broken planet that we're on, and that there's nothing perfect that's going to happen, nothing perfect here. But I want to tell you today that heaven is not and is not going to be a boring place where we're just kind of sitting around floating on a cloud and that everything's white. Heaven's not a boring place. We probably ain't got much time, so let's jump right into this. Colossians 3:1 says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, not what Hollywood tells you about it. Where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Today we're going to try to answer 5 questions. And the very first one, we'll jump right in. What is heaven? What is heaven? And the Bible tells us 3 things that I found about heaven. Is that number one, if you'll take out your outline, it's where God lives and rules. It's where God lives and rules. The Bible says it's a dwelling place of God. The Bible says it calls it the city of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Psalms 123:1 says, Lord, I look up to you, up to heaven where you rule. It's where God lives and rules. The second thing about heaven, what is heaven? It's a real place. It's a real place. It's not a state of mind. It's not a state of being. It's not a dream. And it's not a theory. The Bible says there are streets. The Bible says there's trees. There's water. There's homes. It's a physical place. You and I will have a physical body. And I know it's going to be better than the one I got. John 14 says, Jesus is preparing a place for you. He didn't say, I'm preparing a state of mind for you. He didn't say, I'm preparing a dream for you. He said, I'm preparing a place. Matthew 6:20 says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths or rust can destroy and where thieves can't break in and steal in. If heaven were just a state of mind, you wouldn't be storing up things there. You couldn't store up things in a dream. The third thing about heaven is it's designed for us. It's designed for us. To me, this is the really, really cool part. That is, he didn't just design earth for us. He designed heaven too. And I'm thinking heaven has got to have mountains and a creek running through it. It's got a thunder and lightning of some type. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Heaven was prepared for you the same time he created the world. At the very same time. Guys, there's more to life than here and now. There's more to it. In this perfect world, it's called heaven. And he wants a family. God wants a family that's going to live with him forever. See, you and I, remember we found out in Purpose-Driven Life, and in the Bible says that we are planned for God's pleasure. God's family is the church. And it's the only thing that will last. It's the only thing that will last. Ephesians 1:10 says, this is God's purpose, that when the time is right, he will gather us all together from wherever we are, in heaven or on earth, to be with him in Christ forever. We were made to last forever. You choose where. You choose. Will it be in heaven with him forever? Will it be in hell separated from him forever? Hebrews 13:14 says, for this world is not our home. We are looking forward to our city in heaven, which is yet to come. Once you become part of God's family, there is more to come. Your ultimate home is heaven. Where is it? It's out of this world. It's out of this world. It is not on earth. I know some folks may teach you that it is on earth, but it is not on earth. It is out of this world. Because look at what Psalm says. God looks down from heaven at people on earth to see if there are any who are wise and who worship him. Guys, we may not know the location, but we know the way. The way is Jesus Christ. He is the way and he's the truth and life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Through him. He's out of his way. What is heaven like? That's the next question. What is heaven like? Heaven's somewhat of a mystery. It's a mystery. But this is the... It's hard to really get your hands and your minds around it. And part of it is we don't have the mental capacity to understand it. You know, because we're stuck in this world. And we have these... these certain concepts that we have got hold of, and it's hard for us to let go of them. And the book of Job says that the mysteries of heaven far outreach the earth. I was 12 years old the first time that I was going to see the beach. We're going to Savannah in 4-H, and I had never seen the ocean before. I should have said the ocean. But my classmates and adults tried to tell me. They tried to tell me what the ocean looked like and how big it was. But nothing really, what I found out when I saw it was nothing could communicate the majesty of it. Nothing could describe it other than actually seeing it. And I believe when I thought of this heaven thing and what's it like, and I thought of when I was 12 and I saw the ocean for the first time. Their words couldn't describe how massive it was, how big it was, and how beautiful it was, and the strength of it that you could feel as my 12-year-old feet dug in the sand and I listened to it. No words could have described it. And I believe that's what heaven will be like. I believe it. You know, people tried to tell me when my kids were born how wonderful it'll be and how it'll change your life and all these words, and they tried to tell me how, but nothing could describe. Until I heard her cry. The amazing. Some things you just got to experience. And I think for heaven, it's going to be hard for me to describe it to you. We're just going to have to experience it. It's better than we could ever imagine. All right. There's nothing on earth, according to what I believe and read, to compare heaven to. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I've got a pretty vivid imagination. But I know, according to this verse, that whatever I think of, God's going to top it. God's going to top it. It's going to be wonderful. But the Bible does give us some information about heaven. And I'm going to give you five things that will be in heaven and five things that are not. I've written them in your outline. What's not going to be in heaven is there's going to be no sickness. There's going to be no sickness. We're going to have new bodies. Beautiful bodies, strong bodies, perfect bodies. It's going to be no sick. We will have a body. Because you remember when Jesus died, he came back. He walked through a wall, but he also ate. That tells me we will eat. I'm thinking they will be donuts in heaven. We're going to eat. There's going to be no sickness. There's going to be no gas in heaven. Amen. No sickness. There's going to be no sadness. The Bible says that God will wipe away every tear. There's going to be no more rejection. There's going to be no more depression. There's going to be no more grief. That's not going to be in heaven. There's going to be no suffering. Every need will be satisfied. It says there'll be no sin. Heaven is a perfect place. Nobody lives a perfect life here. When we see Jesus Christ face to face, our character will become like him. Man, you just grab hold of that. The moment you lay eyes on him, the very millisecond, there'll be no sin. Think about this. There'll be no fear, no anger, no guilt. There'll just be no sin. What else? The fifth thing that there won't be is there'll be no death. Immortality. And for those of you that live in chronic pain, that's good news. You'll be able to run again. Your knees won't hurt. What will be in heaven is, on the right side, is a reunion. There's going to be a reunion with every believer. It's going to be a big party. The Bible says he's going to call us together. Be God, the angels, the church, all the believers, the ones in the Old Testament, the ones even before the Savior come, but look forward to the Savior, the Messiah coming. You know who else is going to be there? All those babies. All those babies that were aborted that are going to be there. All those babies that died early, like mine, they're there. They're all there. All those miscarried babies, they're there. They're there. Why? Why do you think they made it to heaven, Jim? Because we are not responsible for what we do not understand. The Bible tells me that. It's the same for children who do not understand the love of Jesus Christ. But in many ways, as children grow and they're young, they get this whole God thing a lot better than we do as adults. The Bible says that those who do not understand are safe. I'm not talking about saved. They're saved. They're safe. They'll be in heaven. You might have been brought up that babies need to be baptized before they enter into heaven. Well, that's not scriptural. That's wrong. Every miscarriage, every stillborn, every abortion, straight into the presence of God. Straight into the presence of God. That's why I don't talk about abortion much. That's why I don't talk about it much. It's because I'm more interested in the adults. They need to understand the forgiveness and the grace that God offers them. Those babies are in heaven. God has given me a message to talk about grace and forgiveness. If you've lost a little one, if you've lost a child that's mentally challenged, retarded, I want to tell you something. That child is in heaven. There will be a reunion. There will be a reunion. The second thing that's in heaven is rewards. The Bible makes it very clear that God's watching our actions. He's listening to our words. He knows our thoughts. He knows our generosity. He sees our service. He sees your sacrifice. He sees you loving your enemies. You're rewarded for bringing others to Christ. A question that you need to answer, is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Is anybody going to be there? Guys, I want you to have that reward. As your pastor, as somebody that cares, I want you to be rewarded for that. I want you to be responsible for bringing someone to Christ. If it might be just bringing them to church. Lord, I know there's somebody on your mind that you could invite to church. Bring that person. Let's act like it's Easter next Sunday. Couldn't we do that? And then even the Sunday after that could be Easter. We could really bring something different to the church. The church is expected to lose people in the summertime. But what if we treated every Sunday like Easter? Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Is anybody going to be there? I believe that God has given this church, North Point, a wonderful message. Guys, don't get me wrong. Faith is what gets you into heaven. But in heaven, you will be rewarded for your good works. You will be rewarded for your good works. Can you imagine the rewards that the youth workers this weekend are going to get? Somewhere around 40 teenagers. Bless them. There'll be folks applauding when they get there. You know, the angels will be flapping their wings. Can you imagine the folks back there right now wiping snotty noses? Can you imagine the folks right now changing the diaper? I believe God's saying, I'm writing that one down. I'm going to talk to you about it when you get up here. I'm going to reward you. This is about rewards. The Bible says there will be rewards in heaven. Do you want them here? You know, they become popular and all this. Or do you want them in heaven? The ones here won't last about 70, 80, 90 years. But in heaven is eternally. In heaven, there's going to be responsibilities. We're not going to just sit on the cloud doing nothing. No. We're going to work. Did you know that? You're going to do stuff that you're interested in. But the difference is even if you're going to enjoy it. You're going to work and enjoy. You're going to love it because you're wired. God wired you. He shaped you. He knows what you like. I'm thinking, all I'm going to do is sit by the creek all day on my motorcycle. but you'll enjoy this. You'll enjoy whatever you do up in heaven. But your responsibilities will be based on how you've been responsible here on earth. The responsibilities that God has given you. You know, one of the questions is, you know, is what have you done with what you have been given? What have you done here on earth? Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 that if you can't be trusted with little things on earth, how am I going to trust you with anything in heaven? The way you handle even your money on earth is an acid test to see how much responsibility you're going to have in heaven. your health, finances, talent. God is waiting to see if you're going to always be in debt. Whether you tithe, whether you're not generous, life is a test to see how much responsibility he hands you in heaven. God says, if I can't trust you with worldly wealth, how can I trust you with the immense heavenly riches? You either store it up in heaven or you store it on earth. Well, how do you store it up in heaven? You do it by investing in people that are going there. My eternal bank account gains much better interest. Life is a test. The fourth thing that's going to happen in heaven is rest. And I got to tell you, man, sometimes that sounds pretty good to me. We're going to have some rest time. For all your hard work, you're going to get some rest. The fifth thing that's going to happen is rejoicing. Rejoicing. I know that this is going to happen. I can't wait when I get there. What? I hope this happens. That I hope my Lord looks at me and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's party. Let's have a good time. Because see, I believe it's going to be a wonderful time. I believe there's going to be rejoicing. Because one thing, God wired me like that. You may be over here in the stick of the mud section, but I'm over here, I am getting my groove back. I lost it many years ago. But I'm getting new knees, I'm getting hair, and I'm settling in the rejoicing part. You can be over here and not sing and not whatever. I'm doing whatever I can. I got new knees. I got hair. I got a six pack. Amen. I'm rejoicing. Bottom line is we'll know, we'll love, we'll serve, we'll share, and we'll honor God. All right, so we got to practice it here. I'm going to get through these real quick. We got to practice it here so we'll know what to do when we get there. All right, how do I get into heaven? Heaven's a narrow door. Look at this next verse, Romans 1:17. The good news tells us that God makes us ready for heaven, makes us right in God's sight. When we put our faith and trust in Christ to save us, this is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, the man who finds life will find it through trusting God. How do I get to heaven? The only way is by humbly trusting God, humbly trusting Christ as your Savior. ABCD, remember last couple of weeks ago? You have to admit you need a Savior. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the way. You have to commit to Him, and you have to confess that Jesus is Lord. And D, you have to depend on His promises. What's His promise? Remember, we memorized this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise. Whosoever. Who is whosoever? That's me and everybody else. It don't matter where you come from. It don't matter what you did. Don't matter who you did it with. Don't matter when you did it. It's whosoever. You ain't been bad enough to escape His grace. If that were so, I'd be there. But thank God for His grace. How do you do it? How do you get to heaven? You put your trust in Jesus Christ. How should I live? Now that I think I'm going to heaven, I know I'm going to heaven. How should I live if I'm going to heaven? If I know I'm going to heaven, then my value system should change. It should change. I'm not living for now. I'm living in light of eternity. I'm not going to perish. If I believe, it says, I will not perish. Some things have to change. I start thinking heaven-minded. storing up rewards in heaven. Number one, if I'm going to heaven, I don't be distracted by temptation. Guys, remember, we're just passing through. We're just passing through. Don't let stuff distract you. 1 Peter 2:11 says, you're only visitors here on earth. Since your real home is in heaven, keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They're not for you, for they fight against your very souls. The mark of maturity is the ability to delay gratification. You know what? Little kids don't know the difference between no and not yet. So the mark of maturity is the ability to delay gratification, to know what not yet is. Not yet. You know what? Successful people, they're normal people who are willing to discipline themselves. That's all they are. They're willing to discipline themselves. You know, a couple of months ago, a governor of New York, gave up everything. Gave up his career, gave up his ethics for a few moments of pleasure. He couldn't delay the gratification. But not just bad things can distract you. Good things can too. Look at the next verse. If they had wanted to, they could have gone back to the good things of the world. But they didn't want to. They were living for heaven. And now God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has made a heavenly city for them. You can give your life to hobbies. You can give your life to success, fame, pleasure, travel. And guys, these are all good things. These are all okay things. Nothing wrong with them. They're just not meant to be first in your life. All right, the second thing is don't be discouraged by trouble. Don't be discouraged by trouble. How should you live if you're going to heaven? Don't be discouraged by trouble. When you live in light of heaven, trouble just doesn't stress you as much. The guy that wrote the next verse had been in prison. He'd been beaten. He had been shipwrecked. And all this stuff, been through hunger. And listen what he wrote. This guy named Paul, 2 Corinthians 4. This is why we never give up. These troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small. Oh, man. And won't last very long. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessing upon us forever and ever. So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven, which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. I don't know what trouble you're going through right now. I don't know what trials you're going through, but I do know this. Number one, it will not last. It's not going to last. This too shall pass. You got to remember, whatever troubles you're going through, it didn't come to stay. This too shall pass. The second thing that I know is that whether you caused it or somebody else did, it's really irrelevant. God will still use it for your good and for your growth if you respond to it correctly. I know that. He'll do it to build your character. And the third thing I know is that you will be rewarded for it in eternity, whatever it is. So many people, they're going to get into heaven by the very skin of their teeth. And I know in the very first millisecond is I'm going to ask myself, why did I spend so much time trying to impress other people? Why did I spend so much time trying to save when I should have been investing in eternity? Why didn't I have more time to share, more time for relationships? Why didn't I give myself more time to serve? Why didn't I make more time for what matters most, which is people? You know, to me, hell would be if God showed me what I could have accomplished if I had just believed him a little more. Every second of your life, every second of my life, every action that you and I take, every thought has eternal implications. Every action. Leads to the third thing about how we should live. We need to focus my energy on what will last. Focus my energy on what will last. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. You know, there's going to be two judgments in eternity. One for sin, one for rewards. Did you guys know that? If you've already trusted Christ as your Savior, you get to skip the first judgment. You don't have to wait in line to be judged for your sins because Jesus Christ has paid that price and you've accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. You don't have to wait in that line. Jesus paid that on the cross. But we will stand in front of God and we will kneel. He may look and say, Michael, here's what I'm going to give you. Dave, here's what I'm going to trust you with. Derek, I saw that sacrifice you made. Garrett, I know you gave and didn't nobody see you. Are you going to say, Dan, I know you fed that person and I wrote it down. I saw it. Here's what I'm going to give you. Here's the responsibilities that you have. Here's your rewards in heaven. You go straight to the second line. The last verse, I run toward the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize that God offers because of what Christ Jesus has done. I'm going to close this in prayer, and I'm going to pray for two things as Jack comes to play. I'm going to pray if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you wouldn't put it off. That you wouldn't say maybe another day. That you do it today. Then my second prayer is I hope after today's message, today's lesson, that maybe you start spending your life in light of eternity. Some things are not going to bug you as much. I believe your stresses will go down and I believe your worries will go away. Because this too will pass. This too will pass. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, and if there's someone here within the sound of my voice that's never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that they settle that issue today. That in the end, they don't have to go through that line, that judgment seat. That they skip that one because they accepted you. And you had paid that price. So Lord, my other prayer is that I pray for North Point Church and the people here. That they begin today living in light of eternity. That maybe the problems they're facing. Maybe the investments they're making. Maybe the way they're handling their money and their health and their mind. I pray that they start doing these things in light of eternity. That we become heaven-minded people. I pray that one day that we all walk in. And my Lord, I pray that every one of these folks here, that you look at them and you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's party. I pray these things in your precious son, Jesus Christ, who paid it all for us. His name. Amen.